The title of the next talk is Sensor-Based Nitrogen Applications Outperform Producer Chosen Rates for Corn in On-Farm Demonstrations. And the speaker again is Peter Scarf.
So. Thanks, John. Yeah, that is kind of a long title. I'm sorry, John.
For myself,
I've broken it up to make it simpler. So we're going to talk about sensor-based nitrogen applications, and probably a lot of you know what I'm talking about when I say sensors, but the two sensors we used in these studies were the Crop Circle 210 and the Green Seeker 505, I think it's called. It's the one with the red and near-infrared light. And these sensors outperformed producer-chosen rates, so we had a comparison between sensor-based management and producer-based management. It's all in corn. We've done it in cotton, too, but I'm only going to talk about the corn today. And this was done on their farms, demonstrating the technology to them. Kent Shen and Ken Suddeth and Newell Kitchen were all key players in this project, as were some other people that helped out on the side, but those were the main ones. It's coming out next month in Agronomy Journal. Everything except the last couple of slides will be in that article, so if you want to learn more, that's one way to do it. Real quickly, give a little background why I use sensors. Peter Kavariga showed a little bit of our work, and really related to the work he was showing too in this area, that doing the same thing all across the field may not always be the right thing. This particular field, optimal N rate varies from less than 80 in the dark blue areas to more than 200 in the dark red areas. And that's a pretty wide range, and you know, most people are halfway in between. What we actually did, Peter showed these kind of, we had five different rates, and then we had the yields associated with them, and we had that in every one of these rectangles, and we just color-coded what the optimal N rate was in each area. And research like this has been done in a number of other states. Minnesota, pretty much their results agreed with ours. John Schmidt has done somewhat similar research in both Kansas and Pennsylvania with similar outcomes. Larry Bundy did a nice study in Wisconsin where he did not find much variability across fields in optimal N rate. So it's not necessarily a simple question that's already answered. We don't have a very good answer yet, but the answer we have is that most of the time there's pretty wide variability. And to me, that means we need probably some kind of variable rate nitrogen strategy, or at least that there's a potential benefit if we can get it right. Well, why are we doing this with sensors? Where we live, in southeast Missouri, everybody side dresses their corn, and this fits in pretty nicely. In the rest of the state, less than 5% side dress, and in between is the Ozarks, and it's pretty much two different countries, and they don't even know each other exists. And so for most of our producers, side dressing is not normal, and that's true over the whole Midwest, and that's really why we get into trouble with the rain situation. I didn't mention in the last talk, but I asked Nathan and Doug beforehand about Arkansas and Pennsylvania. Doug said half of people in Pennsylvania side dress, and Nathan said everyone in Arkansas does, and it's because they have the wet years more often than the Midwest has. The Midwest has had, you know, over the past 50 years, weather where we could get away with all pre-nitrogen applications. But, and we still do, and sensors don't fit in very well, so why am I chasing this particular bird? Well, the real reason is more accurate. We did a lot of research, and we'd rather do it some other way that would fit pre-management, because that's what most of our people do, and most people in the region do, where most of the nitrogen is applied. But we tried using yield, didn't work. We tried using zone soil nitrate, didn't really work. Didn't even work in our small plots for us. We tried using soil conductivity, couldn't get that to work. So it's not that they didn't work at all, it's that they all were very weakly predictive, and what we found was that color was a lot more predictive. The plant was integrating all those factors that control nitrogen availability, and we could look at it and it could tell us what was going on. So it's not convenient for our people and their production systems, but it's accurate. So that's the one we started working on. As you can measure the color a lot of different ways, but aerial images and chlorophyll meter both work just fine for doing variable rate nitrogen applications. It's just that these meters, these onboard sensors, are a lot more convenient than those other ways. And I'm not going to go into why. I'll just give you a quick overview if you're not familiar with this. This is one of our early demonstrations with a producer applicator. We temporarily installed sensors on the front of the applicator. There's only two here. In later years, we went to three sensors, and the sensors would be fed into a computer that we installed in the cab, and the readings would be averaged, and it would calculate a nitrogen rate and direct a controller. In this case, the controller is running a ball valve to change the fertilizer rate, and so when the sensors see dark green corn, the ball valve closes down and a low rate goes out. When the sensors see light green corn, the ball valve opens up and a high rate goes out. I kind of glossed past calculates N rate, and I'm not going to go into detail on it now, but I'm just going to tell you it is a bit of a sticky wicket. You know, it's kind of a black box the way I first said it. Oh, it just calculates N rate. Like, that's simple, but it's not actually simple. And that's one of the remaining issues that still needs to be ironed out in this technology, in my opinion. But just to make sure this is clear, as you're driving through the field, you get a new nitrogen rate diagnosis every second and a new command to that controller to tell it what nitrogen rate to do every second. So just varying as you're going through the field, depending on what the sensors are seeing. We started this demo program in 2004 to help producers try this technology. The first year it was all done with the USDA spray coop that we trail it around to farm fields. In 2005 we started putting it onto producer applicators, and in 2006 we started putting it onto retail applicators, so it's a mix of those. I think we ended up with 19 with the USDA spray coop, and maybe 28 or 30 with producer rigs, and 6, 8, 10 with retailer equipment, mostly in central Missouri, but some in southeast and northwest. In every case, we had sensor-guided nitrogen rate versus a producer-chosen N rate applied on the same day. So just alternating strips of those two treatments. Sometimes some other treatments were included as well, depending on the producer and which machine we were using. They all had at least three replications, and they all had a high-end reference, which was applied at least between 4 and 8 weeks before we did the demo. So when I use those criteria, those are the 55 sites we get. We had 29 with dribbled liquid, 19 with injected, 5 with anhydrous ammonia, and 2 with broadcast urea plus agrotain. So we used a range of sources and application methods. We put the sensors 50 centimeters directly above the row, straight down at the corn. The crop circle was used at most locations, Green Seeker at 6. The first one here is a typo. Its average plot length is 450 meters, and average width is 10.5. Average was 6 replications at growth stage 9 with 50 kilograms applied pre-plant. Wide range in all those, but just gives you an idea of kind of on average what was going on. How did it come out? Well, we saved 16 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare, which is not too far off from what Peter said in his talk in terms of potential for reduced nitrogen application. But it was kind of bimodal, like John's talk. The first mode was 04 to 07 when it was fairly normal years, and we saved 26 kilograms per hectare in 2008, which was the first wet year in the string of wet years I was talking about. We actually used more nitrogen than the producers chose. We used 14 kilograms of extra nitrogen. And, well, you're hoping that that comes out in more yield. Well, guess what? It did. From 2004 to 2007, there was no effect of using the sensors on yield, so we saved 26 kilograms without affecting yield. In 2008, that 14 extra kilograms gave us a 520 kilogram per hectare yield increase, which is about 8 bushels. So if I'm speaking the wrong language for some of you, I apologize, but that's about an 8 bushel or 520 kilogram per hectare yield increase, significant, and increased profit by $42 per hectare, which is $17 an acre. Not a lot of money, but if you're running them over 500 acres a year, you're going to pay for them in less than 2 years, no matter which brand you buy, if you get the same kind of average outcome that we got. So it decreased surplus N by 25%. That's nitrogen above what the removal was estimated in the corn grain. And so that's pretty good from the environmental standpoint, that there's less nitrogen sitting out there unused and available to be moved somewhere else. There's a few other lessons we've learned, and I don't have any time to show you the any data on these, although if you ask questions, I maybe can show you some afterwards. But watching the sensors work sells them. We've had half a dozen, 6 or 7 people adopt these, and all of them were the ones that did the demos with them in the cab. None of the people who did it with the retailer in the cab or who did it with us driving our spray coupe through the field have adopted these, but the people who were sitting in the cab watching it work They liked it. It really makes sense what it does when you watch it doing it. The timing logistics need to be well thought out. It's hard enough to side dress corn. You can't really do this until the corn's a foot tall, and it's really hard to side dress corn and get through every acre every year with a tractor when you're starting when it's a foot tall. So the timing logistics is crucial, and you really aren't expecting to get through every acre every year. You have to have a backup plan, or you have to do only part of your acres that way if you're trying to do it with a tractor. I'd also say there's no need to panic about yield loss when you do get some end stress or you do get some delay. Sensor interpretations still vary widely and perform differently, so something to still be careful about. I feel that sensors, the best use is to guide the main nitrogen application. For very good reasons, a lot of people would like to have the main application pre and then use the sensors for top-up. That's not really what they're suited for. They're not that good at it, but the system is very desirable if someone came up with something that would work for that. A good high-end reference is vital. I've only done one example, but we had one of our demo fields where I said, okay, let's just try this virtual reference thing, and it turned out to be, it would have been a disaster to use in that field, and I didn't look any farther. Everyone says, you're not going to get any producers to use these sensors when they have to go around and put a high-end reference on every field, and I think there's it's such a logistical obstacle. I think there's a valid point there. We had one guy who said, okay, I'm going to do it, and he called up his aerial applicator, and in 2.5 hours, the guy had done every cornfield on the farm. And so, the plane doesn't take very long to go from field to field. You start hauling a big road rig around, and it takes a long time. The sensor values change over the course of a day. This is if you park them over a plant. It may be the plant that's changing more than the sensor, but either the plant or the sensor is changing. You got to remeasure the high-end reference, or you're going to introduce a fair amount of error. And finally, I didn't realize that the engineers were really not that as good. They can't vary the end rate when I tell them to with UAN. But there are some improvements in that, and it's much more possible now. So thanks a lot for your time, and if we have a minute or two for a question, I'd be happy to take it.
Yeah.
Kevin. Yeah, the reason is because you can't really tell corn that needs a little bit of nitrogen from corn that needs zero nitrogen. Let me see if I can find that here. Sensors can't reliably tell corn that needs zero N from corn that needs a little N. They can fairly well distinguish corn that needs a little from corn that needs a medium amount from corn that needs a lot. Here's our calibration. If you see where you get to 1.0, that means the corn looks great. It looks as good as a high-end reference. It still needs 60 pounds per acre. And so if great-looking corn might need 60 or great-looking corn might need 0, how do you drive through a field that might need anywhere from 0 to 60? It should mostly all look the same and look really good. Howard's question is about when's the stress going to show up, and will the sensor be able to interpret it? In my experience, usually if you don't see any stress early, V6, V7, whenever you can get through it with a tractor, if you see zero stress early, you're usually going to get by with a low rate like 60 and make it through the season. Now, I saw some data from Jim Camberato's student the other day. He didn't really show the actual data. He said, we didn't get a significant difference until V10 or something. And Giles told me the same thing, and then he sent me his data, and we put it into our equation, and it gave very good recommendations. So the later you go, I think the higher the quality of your recommendation, but we did this anywhere. These demos went anywhere from V6 to V16. V16 is like this, and, we had a Heggie with injection on it and went through it, and profitability of the sensors over the producer rate was essentially equal anywhere from V6 to V16 in our demos. I think it might be more of a problem in higher organic matter soils where you do make it farther into the season greener. I don't believe that, but I see the potential for that to be you know, a problem that needs to be studied more and understood before you go too far into it?
We should thank Peter for his information. Are there any other questions, discussion? This is the end of the session.
Yeah, I would like to ask you, if you consider different teaching systems and how the sensor would be different and how that would change the recommendation?
We only did one set of calibration plots to get our recommendation system. I mean, by one set, I mean we did 20 experiments in farmer fields all over the state, and that was our initial work on this. And we just used whatever tillage system they had, and it was a range of tillage systems. So our calibration did not try to do different calibrations for different tillage systems. The tillage system is going to affect how much nitrogen is coming available from the soil to the corn, but hopefully the corn will reflect that, and it won't matter what the tillage system was. You know, in other words, when the soil is tilled, it's going to release more, it's going to mineralize more nitrogen, and so it's going to need less nitrogen, and the corn's going to be darker, and the sensor should accommodate that. So you can see the deficiency when it's plowed, but you can't see it when it's no-till?
I just have 1 year of data.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. I'd be happy to talk to you some more about that afterwards, but just from that description, I don't have anything useful to say. Can go backwards easily with this thing.
Yeah, you just click.
Oh, wait, no, it's actually down below. So that's a picture. I don't know if this is what you're talking about.
With most of the things that we were doing, wherever we were UAN, it was just a pump that went in a flow meter. And when the flow meter said it was below what the computer control was telling us to do, it was pump harder. And when it was above what the being told to do on the flow meter, slow it down. But the problem is, you go a 4-time range in pressure for that pump to be reached, but the widest range you can accommodate, you've only got a 2-times change in flow. So whatever your highest rate is, the lowest rate you can go to is about half that much. When you put one of these things in, it's basically got a spring-loaded orifice, and the more pressure there is, the bigger the hole. And all of a sudden, you're actually varying flow more than you're varying. So when you can get a 2-time change in flow with a 1.5 or 1.8 times change of pressure, the system can handle that, and then you can get a wide range of flow rates and performance.
got some. There was another system called CapScan, which also I think works quite well. It's a lot more expensive. These are, you know, I think I paid $50 a month for these, and it really improved our ability to get a wide range of reads. Does that answer your question?
I guess maybe a different approach. We said it's sort of about, you know,
all these
things.
Sort of
about valve control, controller, and income flow meter, microtrack.
So it just turns
so it's
something like all they have on the tigers? It's something like the ones that they have on the tigers, it just flows in all the things? I can talk to you about it later, but obviously I don't know much about it. So I also know anything that's a better answer to that question.
So, are there any questions for Peter Kaburka, his presentation about category analysis?
Yeah, I was wondering, what, if anything, was the difference between the AR-15, when I put it back together, so what was unique about that?
Okay. Is that a lot special in the world for this category?
Questions. If not, we're done. If you've got specific questions,